This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our fiqh class. Today, inshallah, we will start with the Jum'ah prayer. We already discussed the pillars of the prayer and the preferred acts of the prayer. Now we are moving to another section in the chapter of the prayer, which is the Jum'ah prayer. We have conditions for the Jum'ah prayer to be obligatory. If one of these conditions is not fulfilled, then Jum'ah prayer is not obligatory. We have 7 conditions. Again, I'd like to remind you with the importance of the numbers. Remember the numbers. We have 11 things that invalidate the prayer. We have 12 pillars or 18 pillars for the prayer. We have 15 preferred acts. Now, we have 7 conditions in order for the Jum'ah prayer to become obligatory. The first one is entering into Islam. The one who performs Jum'ah, he has to be a Muslim. Number 2, reaching puberty. You have to reach the age of puberty. Number 3, being sane. If someone does not have his sanity, he doesn't have to pray the Jum'ah. Number 4, being a free man. Number 5, being male. Number 6, being healthy. And number 7, being a resident of the area. Let's go back to the conditions. What are the evidences? Entering into Islam. Does the kafir have to pray the Jum'ah? No. Well, he has to pray, but it will not be accepted anyway, even if he prayed. So, Islam is a condition. Reaching the age of puberty, why it is a condition? Yes. Yes, exactly. The pen has been lifted on 3 types of people. One of them is the boy, the young person, until they reach the age of puberty. The same thing with sanity. What about being a free man? The slave does not have to pray the Jum'ah. Does the slave have to pray the regular prayer or not? Yes. He has. So why the Jum'ah is not? From his master? Does he need the permission to pray the regular prayers?
No.
No, so what's the difference?
Because that takes out of his time.
Yes, Jum'ah prayer is not like the regular prayer. It takes more time. And he has to leave, so he doesn't have to pray the Jum'ah. What about women? Why don't they have to pray the Jum'ah? Yes.
It's better
for them to pray at home. That's the sunnah always. The Prophet ﷺ said, when the woman prays in her house, it is better than praying in the masjid. So she doesn't have to pray in the masjid. Actually, there is a hadith. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ وَلَا عَلَى الْعَبْدِ جُمْعَةٌ. There is no jum'ah for the woman and the slave. Being healthy. What about being healthy? Do you have to be healthy to pray in general? If you're sick, you don't pray at all?
Well, the Jum'ah is a congregation, you have to stand in line.
Yes, Jum'ah requires more effort. You have to leave your house, you have to come to the masjid. And you may not be able to do that. You're sick, so you don't have to attend the Jum'ah. What about residence? The same thing. If you are traveling, you are excused. The traveler, he doesn't have to pray the Jum'ah. He could pray Dhuhr, and he combines between Dhuhr and Asr. Because if we say he has to pray Jum'ah, then he cannot combine the prayers. And he misses one of his rights. So he doesn't have to. If he wanted to pray Jummah, that's fine. But the traveler, he doesn't have to pray Jummah. So these are the conditions in order for the Jummah to be obligatory. Now, there are conditions for performing the Jummah prayer. Always try to differ between the two things. They are different. Conditions for the Jummah to become obligatory and conditions for performing the Jummah. Just like the prayer, we have conditions for the prayer to become obligatory and conditions for the prayer to be accepted. So the same thing here, we have conditions for performing the Jummah. How many conditions? Three. The area must be urban or rural. And here, there is a problem of translation, because rural, it refers to a smaller place. While actually what we mean here, the area, it has to be at least with a place for residence. It's not a desert, not a place where people travel. How do we consider an area, whether it is urban or rural? Scholars talked about that. There has to be at least three things: judge, market, and a place for prayer, like a masjid. Because if you don't have a marketplace, that means it is very small area and the Jummah is not obligatory. And the same thing if you don't have a leader, mayor, or judge for that area. And it depends. Other scholars, they considered different things. Number two, the members of the congregation are at least 40 in number. They have to be 40, at least. This is again the Shafi'i school of thought. If you have less than 40 people, is the Jummah obligatory? It is obligatory, but you don't perform it. If you are a male, you are healthy, the Jummah is obligatory. But in order for the Jummah to become correct, you have to have 40 people. So in this case, you don't perform Jummah. Just like in the prayer, if you are male and you are able to pray, but the time did not come, can you pray before the time? No. Here, actually, what's the evidence that they have to be 40? Scholars differed, like in the number, because all the ahadith came, they did not specify a number. The authentic ahadith, they did not specify the number. And the ahadith that specified the number, they are not authentic. Therefore, we have the different opinions. Hanbali school of thought, they said it has to be 12 people. Minimum is 12. Imam Ahmed. Imam Abu Hanifa, he said 3 people is enough. It is sufficient to have 3 people for the Jummah. So in the Shafi'i school of thought, if it's less than 40, you don't have to pray the Jummah. These people, the 40 people, what if we have 38 males and 2 women? It has to be 40 males. What about 39 adults and 1 child? Why?
Because they're not even happy, even in the same case in the slave.
Yes, they have to be 40 people, which the Jummah is obligatory on them. That's the condition on the number. Number 3, the last condition, the designated time has not yet elapsed. This is the third condition. What do we mean by that? We mean by that there is a time to perform the Jummah prayer. Let's say you are in a city and you waited for the people to come. There were 40 people, but they came late. And now you looked at the watch and it's only 4 minutes. Can you give a khutbah in 4 minutes? You can start the khutbah, but then the time will be already gone. If you give the khutbah, then when you will pray? So what do you do in this case? You pray dhuhr. There has to be a time. If the time is already gone, then you don't pray Jummah. So these are the three conditions in order to perform the Jummah prayer. We have seven conditions in order for the Jummah to become obligatory, and we have three conditions in order to perform the Jummah. Now we have required acts for the Jummah prayer. And also they are three. We have three required acts for the Jummah prayer. One of them is you have to have two sermons, during which the imam stands up and between which he sits down. You have to have two sermons, standing and sitting. So you stand up, you give one sermon, you sit, you stand up again, you give the second sermon. That's the way you perform it. Why? Because that's how the Prophet ﷺ performed it. So they said it is obligatory. This is a pillar. In the Shafi'i school of thought, if you start in Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu wa Nasta'inu, and you talk for half an hour, and then you say Aqim as-salah while you did not sit down, is the Jummah correct?
No.
No. It says here, it's a pillar. What's the meaning of pillar? You have to do it. Number two, performing two units, two rak'ah. They say the two standings, they are like two rak'ah. And then you perform two rak'ah. Number three, performing the prayer in congregation. What do we mean by that? Someone came to the Jummah and he attended the entire sermon. But then he looked at his watch and he found out that his break is already over. He has to go back to work. And he goes. Is he considered performing the Jummah? Yes or no? No, he has to pray the two rak'ah. Without the two rak'ah, in congregation. Remember, in congregation. You cannot say, I'll pray in my work. I attended the Jummah, alhamdulillah, and I go and pray in my work. You cannot. You have to pray in congregation. So these are the three required acts of the Jummah prayer. Now we have preferred acts. What do you mean by preferred acts? Just like what we said in the prayer. It's only preferred. Here we don't have sujood sahu. In the Jummah, there is no sujood sahu. We have four preferred acts. One of them, ritual bathing and cleaning the body. It is recommended before you come to the Jummah to clean yourself. You take a bath. In some schools of thought, this is mandatory. The Prophet ﷺ said, حَقٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. It's the right upon each Muslim to perform ghusl before he comes to the Jummah prayer. Number two, wearing white clothes. It is recommended also. The Prophet ﷺ recommended wearing white clothes always. And in particular on Friday. There is no specific hadith to say Friday in particular is recommended, but because this is a day where people gather, and in general, you're recommended to wear white cloth, so it is the same on Jummah prayer. Number three, trimming the nails. Trimming the nails. Number four, wearing perfume. All these acts are recommended. Now let me ask you this. Someone started the khutbah. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa natubu ilayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyi'ati a'malina. And then he went on in Urdu for all the khutbah. He sat down, then he stood up, and then he said, Aqim as-salah. Is the Jummah prayer accepted?
I see it happen.
If you see it happen, does that mean It is correct.
It has to be in Arabic.
Do we have this? Is it the pillar of the Jum'ah to be in Arabic?
No.
No. At least not in the Shafi'i school of thought. It's not... What?
Some people would be, it's, Pakistan, you wouldn't understand, it's just an Arabic.
Yeah, and vice versa also.
And the other way around.
What if someone goes to a place where they give the khutbah in Arabic and he doesn't understand a word? Arabic is only recommended. It's better actually to give the people what they understand. That's the purpose of the khutbah. Yeah, we do it in English. You start with ayah, with hadith, and that's the khutbah. What's the khutbah? The khutbah consists of ayah, hadith, and the prayer on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whatever comes else is extra. Whether you say it in Arabic, in Urdu, in English, in any other language.
So why 4 minutes are not enough? Why 4 or 5 minutes are not enough? What's the length?
Why 4 or 5 minutes? Because they said this is the minimum, 40 men. It has to be...
Minutes.
4 minutes. No, the length is good. It could be enough, 4 minutes. But 4 minutes speech, and then you have the prayer. The prayer will take more time. So it will not be enough to do both. But if you started the Dhuhr prayer, even if the time elapsed already, still your prayer is correct. Okay, now we're moving to another section, praying in congregation. Yes.
And you walked into a city, that you stayed there for 3 or 4 days, and then the Jum'ah will become obligatory because you're staying there, you're not traveling at that time.
If you stay for more than 4 days, yes, yeah. You become...
It becomes obligatory.
Yeah.
Let's say they're Hanafi school of thought.
Yes.
And they have 10 people and they're going to start praying.
Yes.
They're not 40, what do?
You could pray with them, but it's not mandatory on you. Because you believe it becomes mandatory when there are 40 people. Now, all what we discussed is when you pray alone. Now we're talking about praying in congregation. We started with the Jum'ah prayer. And now we're moving to the other prayers. Congregational prayers and the Eid prayers. Congregational and Eid prayers are established traditions. What do you mean by established traditions? Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, according to the Shafi'i school of thought, if a man does not pray in the masjid, what's his punishment?
No.
Nothing. Why?
Because it's a sunnah.
It is a sunnah. Because it is a sunnah. Now, that does not mean you're encouraged to leave the prayer in congregation, but just in case you did not pray, it is only sunnah. It was opined that congregational prayers, this is another opinion, are collectively obligatory. What do you mean by collectively obligatory?
He put all the reasons together.
Fard kifaya. Fard kifaya. If some did it, then it is sufficient. If none did it, all the people are sinners. That's what we mean by collectively obligatory. So we have two opinions in the Shafi'i school of thought. What's the difference between number one and number two?
Number one, it's not a sin on you as an individual if you don't pray.
Okay.
But if everybody doesn't, it's a sin on everyone, collectively, on everyone. It becomes...
This is number one.
Yeah.
What's about number two?
Well, the second one was number two.
What's the difference, I'm asking, between number one and number two?
An individual, if he doesn't go pray, the congregational prayer, he's not sinning. But the number two, if no one in the community prays congregational prayer at all, that's a collective sin in everyone.
And according to number one, if no one prayed at all?
According to number one, if no one, no, it's not a sin.
Yes, exactly. That's the difference. Number one, they say, even if nobody prayed, no one is sinning. But it's again disliked, but it's not a sin. While number two, if no one prayed, everybody is committing a sin. Because they said it has to be, like it has to be a city, a Muslims. What makes them Muslims? If someone stranger came, he needs to see that people are praying. Actually, the Sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ, whenever they wanted to fight people, before they fight them, they wait to see if they are praying or not. That's what Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was commanded to do. So, these are the two opinions of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. What's the evidence? Because there are many scholars who said it is wajib, it is mandatory, and to say it's wajib, it's very strong opinion as well. The jama'ah prayer, the congregational prayer is wajib, is very strong opinion. What's the evidence that it is sunnah or collectively obligatory? It's not mandatory on everyone. Do you know? You don't know? Why do you go to the masjid? You like to, or people are doing it, so you can't. Yes, you know. There is a hadith of the Messenger ﷺ. He intended to burn the houses of those who don't come to the masjid, right? If it's sunnah, why would the Prophet ﷺ burn the house? If it's optional, you should not punish me. So actually, that's an evidence for the other opinion. Now we have a problem. We need an evidence for this opinion.
The second opinion from
the yeah.
That not everybody has to do it, just as a collective, you have to do
it. Yeah.
Because the Prophet says that each time you miss a Jum'ah, there's a black spot put on your heart.
Yeah.
Until the heart becomes black and you can't distinguish.
Yeah, that means.
That will be for the first.
That means you have to do it. That's not for the first nor the second. That's again for the same thing. What's the evidence that it is sunnah? The Prophet ﷺ said in hadith, in both Sahih and Sahih al-Bukhari, صَلَاتُ الرَّجُلِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ تَفْضُلُ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِ صَلَاتُ الْجَمَاعَةِ تَفْضُلُ عَلَى صَلَاتِ الْفَرْدِ بِسَبْعٍ وَعَشْرِينَ دَرَجَةً بِسِتٍ وَعَشْرِينَ دَرَجَةً or بِخَمْسٍ وَعَشْرِينَ. When you pray in congregation, it is better 25 times than you pray in your house. Now they said to prefer or to favor one over the other, that means the other one is also permissible. Otherwise, there is no comparison between the two. Because you would say from the beginning, it is not permissible to pray at home. But the Prophet ﷺ is simply telling you it is better 25 times. That means it is still permissible to pray at home. Make your house graves. Yeah, this supports again the other opinion. So this is the essential evidence for the Shafi'i school of thought and Maliki school of thought, whoever said it is sunnah or sunnah muakkada, that you don't have to do it. Now we're moving to an important issue, which is the timings for prayers. And I believe this is something you don't have in the book, so be with me. First prayer is the Dhuhr prayer. This is the first prayer. Is it the Dhuhr or the Subh prayer?
I always thought it was Salat al-Fajr, but I was wrong.
Why?
I was told it was the first prayer was the Dhuhr prayer, not the Fajr prayer.
Is it Dhuhr or Subh prayer?
I knew it was Fajr because it started the day.
THUHR.
Is this correct?
It's the first prayer of the day is the Dhuhr prayer because you pray Fajr before the sun comes up.
Does that make it the first prayer?
If it's the day, the first prayer on the day, yes, it makes it the first prayer.
No. When does the day start?
When the sun comes up.
According to whom?
According to light.
According to light and dark.
Yeah, daytime and nighttime.
Islamically, can you start your day by eating until the sun comes?
No.
Because you have to fast the day, right? You don't fast the night.
Right.
You cannot take this.
day starts in the middle of the night, 12 a.m. That's when the muting starts.
So what do you think? We don't want to spend more time quickly. Is it Dhuhr or Subh prayer? Come on.
What was the question again?
What's the first prayer on the day?
On the day, it becomes Dhuhr.
No. Yes. Fajr is not sunrise. Again, you are mixing two things. Fajr is not sunrise. Fajr is the dawn.
So it is the Fajr, then that's the case.
It's the Fajr.
That's the case.
No, actually it's Dhuhr.
Okay.
It's the first it's the first prayer. Why? Yes. Why? Why Bazigha? It seems logical. We need evidence. Jibreel alayhi salam, when he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the prayer was ordained, the first time he came, it was on Dhuhr prayer. So that's, it's the first prayer, yes.
So that's because we are encouraged to stay awake after Fajr and begin our work after the sunrise.
Yeah, so we already started our day in that case. Anyway, Dhuhr prayer is the first prayer. Why? Because Jibreel alayhi salam, when the prayer was ordained, he came the first time on the Dhuhr prayer. It starts from the Zawal. Zawal means when the sun is moving from the zenith, from the meridian. That's the beginning of the Dhuhr time. Until the shade of everything becomes equal to the length of it after the shade of meridian. What do we mean by that? You are 6 foot. Okay? This is your height. The end of the Dhuhr prayer until you have the shade of 6 foot. After you add, everything has a shade, even when the sun is straight up, vertical. There is like maybe 1 or 2 centimeters, more or less. You add the 6 foot to this, and then that's the end of the Dhuhr prayer. It's beginning time when the sun starts going down. Not when it's up 90 degrees in the horizon, no. That's still the time where you cannot pray. The Dhuhr time starts, that's what we call in Arabic Zawal. What's the meaning of Zawal? Zala linguistically means removed. Because the sun is already moving. It moved from the zenith, from the meridian. It's moving. So that's when the time of Dhuhr starts. It starts after the sun has already moved. After the sun has already moved. That's the time of Dhuhr. Until the shade of everything is equal to its length, plus the shade of it itself when there is the sun is horizon. It's vertical on the thing. Even if this is, let's imagine this light is the sun, and you have this card here, you will have a slight shade. The slight shade, maybe it's like 1/10 of the length or less. You add this to its length, the sun is moving and the shade is coming until it becomes equal. Nowadays, Dhuhr time remains from like 1:20 until 5 o'clock maybe. 4 hours more or less, or 3.5 hours. That's the time of Dhuhr. By that, when you have 6 foot 10 centimeters, then what starts? The Asr time. The Asr time starts from this until when? The sunset?
Until the shade is twice the length.
Until the shade is twice the length. Not until... When does the Asr time end? When does it end, the Asr time?
When the shade is twice the
length. When the sun...
The sun color is orange.
When the sun color is orange?
Like when we see like regular sun as orange.
What about the Maghrib? Why it doesn't end at the Maghrib time?
Maghrib is supposed to be like sun is completely down, but we still can see the rays.
Yeah, before that time, don't you pray Asr? Can't you pray Asr? No? Why? Before the sun is setting. After your shade is twice your length. Can't you pray Asr? Because there is time. There is like half an hour or so. What do you think?
If you miss it, you can.
If you miss it?
Yeah, not on a regular basis.
Not on a regular basis.
I believe the hadith that say that during that time, the kuffar used to pray to a sun. That's why it's forbidden to pray at that time.
It is forbidden to pray. Okay, we'll discuss it now. I'll clarify it. Let's move to the Maghrib time. When does the Maghrib time start?
When the sun goes down.
When the sun is completely down. When the sun is completely down. It seems we have a problem here. Let's see.
The sun is disappearing.
This is the sea level. You are here. Okay. Tell me, when can you pray Maghrib? The sun is what?
Setting.
Is setting.
When is Maghrib is due, or until when you can pray Maghrib?
When can you start praying Maghrib?
And when before last?
Which number?
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
Online?
No, I think it's because you said you're asking when can you start praying.
Yes, when can you start praying Maghrib?
Does a different mother say a different thing?
I'm asking you. What do you think? When does it start? Which number? Tell me which number. Don't tell me when the sun... I gave you a chart. Not the best of drawing, but I think it's clear. It is this way. Because you look there. That's the west. Yes.
Atiyah says number two.
Atiyah says number two. Why not number one? When the sun is equally setting, half of it is down and half of it is up. What do you think? Tell me here. What do you think?
Number four.
Number four? When you're able to see the rays of the sun?
Yes. It's not like night, but it's not too dark either.
It's not night. Again, you can see the rays of the sun. If the disk of the sun is gone, you can pray. That's what you look for, the disk of the sun. So it is number four here. It is number four. As long as you could see part of the sun itself, the sun itself, then you cannot pray. Remember, that's the sunset, because now it's already set. You can break your fast, you can pray also. Number four, the Isha prayer. When does it start?
When it's completely dark.
When it's completely dark. Be more accurate.
When the sun is
on. When the red twilight ends. Now, after the sun is setting, what happens? There is still some kind of light. And it takes some time. When it's totally dark, there is red twilight. When it's gone, then that's the beginning of the Isha time. Until when?
Until one third of the night. The first third of the night.
One third of the night. Not until the dawn?
Midnight?
Midnight?
You can pray Isha until midnight.
The first third of the night is done.
Why it's the first third? They say midnight. What's the midnight? 12 a.m.?
Midnight to that, because the Isha is 10 p.m. now. So if we divide the night by 3, it will come around, and the Fajr is about 5 o'clock. So it will come about midnight, but sometimes the day is a lot longer. So sometimes it's,
so it's not always 12 a.m.?
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes.
Midnight, according to the middle of the night, from the time Isha starts to when Fajr, time Fajr starts.
So we calculate the night from the Isha time until
Fajr
time.
Fajr time.
Wrong. From Maghrib time, from the sunset until the dawn. So nowadays, like today, the sunset is almost 8:22. And the subh, the dawn is 5, no, it is 5, maybe 14 or 15. Let's say 5:16. How much time do we have?
Almost 9.5 hours.
9 hours, let's say 9 hours. Even. Okay, let's just assume 9 hours. If you say half the night, then you add, you divide this by 2, which means 4.5. 4.5, you add it to 8:29. The midnight is when?
1 o'clock in the morning.
It is 11:59. It's exactly 12 a.m., the midnight. Why? Because it's only 9 hours.
That's 12:59.
And 12:59?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. 12:59. Yeah, it's almost exactly 1 a.m. 1 a.m. But that's not according to the Shafi'i school of thought. According to the Shafi'i school of thought, you divide it by 3. And the first third only. So you add 3 instead of 4. You add 3. So you have until 11:59.
So midnight,
11:29, I'm sorry. 11:29. That's the maximum. You should wait until you pray the Isha time, according to the Shafi'i school of thought. Why? Because there is a hadith. Prophet ﷺ said, the time of the Isha until one third of the night is gone. Okay, let me ask you this. What about the time between 11:29 until 5:15 or 5:16? Can't someone pray Isha at that time?
Well, you can always pray. If you were traveling, you couldn't pray.
Okay, let's finish the last one, which is the subh prayer. When does the subh prayer start? When does it start? Before sunrise. 4 hours before sunrise? 2 hours before sunrise? When does it start? From the dawn.
First light.
From the dawn. Not the first light. Yes.
Dim reddish glow.
The dim?
Reddish glow.
Glow. Yes. Yes, it is 2 dawns, that's correct. Fajr al-Kadhib and Fajr al-Sadiq. The lying dawn and the true dawn. The lying dawn, it comes vertical. Prophet ﷺ gave the example like the tail of the fox. And the true dawn, when the light starts in the horizon. That's the true dawn. That's the beginning of the subh time. Fajr al-Sadiq, the dawn. Until when? Until Isfar. What's the meaning of Isfar?
Until when you pray?
Yeah.
Sunrise.
Sunrise. Is the Isfar sunrise? Isfar. What's the meaning of Isfar? Isfar means when you are able to distinguish the things by the natural light. Now remember, the sun did not rise yet, but you could see the rays of the sun. That's the isfar. When you could see that he is wearing a black shirt or white shirt. Of course, nowadays you could do that easily because of the light. But without lights, only with the sunlight, the natural light. Once you are able to distinguish the things, that's the end of the time. It is like half an hour before the sunrise. It is half an hour before sunrise. What about these timings then? From isfar until the sunrise, can you pray?
From isfar to sunrise?
Yeah. You can pray. The Shafi school of thought is they say no.
You can't pray from dawn to...
From isfar to sunrise.
From isfar to sunrise?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Before isfar, sorry, I'm
supposed to... In order to understand the timings, you need to remember that we have three types of timings. We have virtuous time, we have permissible time, and we have necessity time. In order to understand the timings of the prayer, you have to understand that the prayer is divided to three timings. Dhuhr prayer or Isha prayer. Let's say Isha prayer. When does it start? We just said when the red twilight is gone. Until when?
Until the third of the night is gone.
One third of the night is gone. That's number two, permissible time. What's the evidence that each prayer is divided to three types? The Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked, what's the best deeds? He said, praying, as-salatu ala waqtiha. In another narration, as-salatu li awwali waqtiha. Praying at the beginning of the time. This is, he's referring to the virtuous time. It's always better to pray when? At the beginning of the time. This is in general, but in our cases, if you should go to the masjid, then when is the virtuous time? When you pray with the congregation. That's the virtuous time, always when you pray with the congregation. Let's say you did not pray with the congregation, you were busy, then you could still catch the second type, which is permissible time. And we just said the Isha time ends at 11:29 a.m.
P.M.
I'm sorry. P.M. P.M. Right? What if someone slept at 9 p.m. before the Isha time? And he woke up 2 a.m. What do we tell him? You cannot pray anymore? This is the third category, necessity time. So the Isha time is still available until the dawn, until the beginning of the second prayer. If the second prayer started, he cannot pray anymore. He can make it up only. Why? Because he had an excuse, he could pray. But if someone is sitting, watching TV, playing, talking, and it passed this time, you cannot just come and say, I'm praying on its time. He's considered missing the prayer, and he's considered making it up. The same thing for Asr prayer. When does Asr prayer start? It starts when the shade
equal to the length of the person.
Is equal to the person. Plus, remember always, plus the original. Shade. There will be always, if this is the sun, even if there is something very small, even if it's 1 meter, you will have a shade, like 2 centimeters. So when the sun is moving, the shade is going until it is 1, 2. That's when the Asr starts. When does it end? When the shade becomes 2 meters, twice. Again, that's the time of what?
Permissible time.
The virtuous time, we already said, at the beginning of the time. Unless you have congregation, you don't say, oh, it's better to pray at the beginning of the time, so I will miss the congregational prayer. It's always recommended to pray with congregation. What if it became 6:30 p.m. and the sun became very yellow, but it is still. Here is the sun. It started what? Setting. It started setting. Can you pray at this time? Can you pray at this time? In regular cases, no, you cannot. You cannot. If you are sitting and wasting your time, you cannot. But if you slept or you forgot and you remembered, we don't tell you, no, it's already over. We tell you this is necessity time. You could pray. Depending on your case. So again, every prayer is divided to how many timings? 3 timings.
Again, I was told that if you pray Dhuhr and then you walk in and people are praying Dhuhr in the congregation, you can pray the Dhuhr a second time.
Yeah.
Except the Asr, you can't do that. Why? Or is it true?
Always, when you go to a masjid, even if you already prayed, you pray with them.
Including Asr prayer.
Every prayer.
Has anybody ever said that Asr cannot be prayed?
Maybe there is a reason when it's disliked to pray after Asr because of that. But the Sunnah, always, if you come to the masjid, and you, even if you already prayed, you pray with them. Otherwise, they will think that you don't pray. Is the timings of the prayer clear? When it is not permissible to pray, is there a time that you cannot pray? Yes?
I know of one.
When?
After the sun rises until it's a mihrab away from the horizon.
Rumh, not mihrab. Do you know any?
Sunrise, sunset, and when it is at the zenith.
That's it. So we have 3 timings. Yes?
You said the zenith.
Yeah, she just said
between
it.
Between Asr and Maghrib.
Between Asr and Maghrib. In general, they are 3. In details, they are 5. 5 timings in details. The first time is after the subh prayer until the sun rises 1 spear over the earth, over the sea level. Or you could say it is 2 times, after subh prayer and between that time until the sun is up over that space, which is one sphere. Then, when the sun is at the zenith, this is the second time. The third time is after Asr. Or you could say, between Asr and Maghrib, and when the sun is setting. So these are five timings in details and three timings in general. Between Asr and Maghrib, between Subh and the sunrise, and when the sun is at the zenith. You had something? After the Subh prayer until the sunrise, this is the first time, at the sunrise until it's up. When the sun becomes up at that level, higher than one spear, how long does it take?
15 minutes.
Some scholars said 15 minutes. Others said it's much less than that. It's almost 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Number three, before Zawal, when it's midday at the zenith. Number four, after Asr until the sunset. And number five, at the sunset until the sun is totally gone. Do you have to wait after the sun is gone until the rays of the sun are gone? No. Unlike the Subh prayer, you wait until the sun is up. What's the evidence that you don't pray at this time? What's the evidence? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, he forbade praying at this time. The companion said, ثَلَاثُ سَاعَاتٍ, three timings, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us from praying at them. These are the timings. Is it totally forbidden to pray at these times?
Totally, 100%.
Yeah? What do we mean by that? This is an example. Someone entered the masjid. Do you pray or you don't pray?
You pray two rak'ah and you walk
in. What if you enter the masjid after Asr?
The man used to pray. You pray the two rak'ah and you walk in regardless.
Regardless? It's prohibited to pray. And it's prohibited to sit without praying. What do? You stay standing for 4 hours.
Yes.
It's like the general versus the specific. So the prohibition is specific and the general, I guess, so that prohibition is since it's specific that takes precedence over it.
Yes. Very good. You pray as soon as?
I guess you come in and sit down and then you pray as soon as you...
Well, if you come and sit down, you violated and you sat down. While the Prophet ﷺ said you don't sit down. What Rimza said is correct. Here we have two issues. It's usul fiqh issue and it will come with us inshallah next year. There is a general ruling, but you flip them. The general ruling is prohibition. At this time you don't pray. And there is a specific ruling. When you enter the masjid, you pray. So we say, in general, you don't pray. Once you enter the masjid, you pray. Now, of course, that's the Shafi'i school of thought opinion. Other scholars, they said, prohibition takes precedence. So you don't pray. You don't pray. So in the Shafi'i school of thought, they say, you pray. What if you performed wudu? Do you pray two rak'ah, the sunnah of the wudu?
Yes, you do.
What if you were reciting the Qur'an and you passed by prostration for the recitation, sujood tilawa? Do you prostrate yourself? In the Shafi'i school of thought, they say yes. They say كل صلاة ليس لها سبب في الخمسة الأوقات حتما تجتنب. If there is no reason for your prayer, then you don't pray. But if there is a reason, you pray. Janaza prayer, funeral prayer, prayer of the masjid, you come to the masjid, you pray. Tilawa, sujood tilawa, you make the sujood tilawa. This is the Shafi'i school of thought. They said in all these cases, they are specific cases. While the prohibition is general. So the specific takes precedence. We say in general, you don't pray. And here, in this specific situation, you pray. أوقاتي حتما تجتنب من بعد وقت الصبح من وقت الأداء إلى طلوع الشمس عند الابتداء. So in the Shafi'i school of thought, you pray in these timings. Now we're moving to another issue. How you are considered a follower of the Imam? What do we mean by that? You're watching TV or you have a laptop and you see the prayer of the haram in the masjid. Can you follow the imam?
No. You have to... No, you can't.
Can you follow the imam of the haram? You see him, you hear him. He made prostration and you prayed. Yeah, they are praying Maghrib now.
Yeah,
it's actually now, yeah, almost now. It's Maghrib time there. Can you pray with them Maghrib?
No, because of your location. It's not Maghrib time.
It has to be in the location.
No, well...
What if they are broadcasting the prayer from South Zone Masjid? It's in the same area, the same city, but it's like 6 miles away. You could see them. Can you or you can't?
You can.
Why?
I don't remember this. You have to be on place within a certain distance from the imam.
You have to be on the same place with a certain distance.
From the imam. If you're beyond that distance, you have to perform at another congregation of prayer. You have to split up.
Why?
Can I remember the evidence, but I know that.
How you are considered follower of the imam? When can you follow and when you cannot follow the imam? We have two cases. We have two cases. Whether you are inside the masjid or outside the masjid. I'll break it down simply like that. Don't look at the details. Maybe it will confuse you. Two cases. Whether you are inside the masjid or outside the masjid. If you are inside the masjid, as long as you could hear the imam or see him, you are a follower of the imam. Even if he's there and you have like 5 lines gap between you and him. As long as you're inside the imam. Why? What's the evidence? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he performed ruku' in the back of the masjid and he walked like that to catch the rak'ah with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell him, repeat the prayer, because you missed the rak'ah. He just told him, don't do it again. But the rak'ah was correct. So as long as you're in the masjid, if you hear the imam, you see the imam, you follow him. If you're outside the masjid, the lines have to be connected. The lines have to be connected. Why? If they are not connected, then you are not following the imam. There is a gap. Why in the masjid it is forgiven? Because in the masjid, you are in the masjid, you are following the imam, and there is an evidence. The Prophet ﷺ said the imam is only a sign to be followed. So you have to follow the imam. Without this, you don't follow the imam. So that's how you're considered a follower of the imam. Whether you are inside the masjid or outside the masjid. If you're inside the masjid, you hear him, you can hear him or see him, you're following the imam. Outside the masjid, the lines have to be continuous. Even if the masjid is small and you are 2 miles away from the masjid, the lines are continuous. The prayer is correct. only? Okay. I will end with this. We leave the questions afterwards. What if someone does not pray? Now, I asked you to write something about the virtues of the prayer. At least 5 things. And you wrote good things, alhamdulillah. What if someone does not pray? What's the ruling?
Murtad.
Murtad, he's kafir.
Yeah.
MashaAllah. Yes?
It depends on whether they think that the salah is obligatory or not.
Yeah, they say it's obligatory. They say, we have to pray, but I'm too lazy to pray. Many people, they are rich and they say, we don't want to pay the zakah. What do you think? What's the ruling on the one who does not pray? Majority of scholars said he's still Muslim, but he should be killed. He's given 3 days to repent, or he should be killed. One opinion of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said the one who does not pray, he's kafir, because of the numerous ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is your assignment, you don't have to turn it in, but you have to find out the opinions of the scholars, especially Imam Shafi rahimahullah, on the prayer, the one who does not pray. What's the ruling? What's the punishment? With this, we will conclude our session. Hadha wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.